Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knock On Nation podcast show. Oh. Knock On Nation podcast show. Hey, it's another episode of the Knock On Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Josh Brown. We got Ken Hendricks and JT here with us. Fellas, how you doing?
Why'd you do it backwards?
Yeah.
Sorry, Ken, did you want to do that?
No, you're fine. Go for it. Fire away.
It's another episode of the Knock On Nation podcast show.
Okay, you didn't have to fire away again, but I mean, it's okay. It's all right. I'm down. Right. I'm down.
It felt good.
I am good. DTFA. Down to fire away.
Oh, okay.
Does that work? Does that work? Just saying.
I like it.
Okay. That you ask. Like,
JT,
yeah.
We missed you yesterday.
We did.
Yeah, sorry. I was feeling like crap. And, I got no sleep all weekend and drank too much whiskey and baby was up all night.
Is it true Nick Saban is Satan, JT? Is that,
other than that
I mean,
know,
at this point, are we just 100% convinced that Nick Saban is actually the devil?
I don't even want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. I'm done. I'm just...
Just dead inside. Just dead inside. Yeah.
Just dead inside. He was selfish for playing with COVID, or for coaching with COVID.
Yeah, he's making him completely selfish. I got so tired of. I just didn't even try. My idiot friends trying to explain to me how Stetson Bennett was 99% of the reason that the Braves lost. I mean, not the Braves, that Georgia lost. And
stop.
While Stetson certainly was not perfect, don't get me wrong. I basically muted the entire chat and was on the edge of blocking them all. But I was pretty much, you know, Josh, where I was the night the Braves lost in the 15-run game and you pretty much made me want to kill you. Yeah, I was that. I was beyond that way with them. Like,
me and JT, I was feeding off JT. I'm blaming that on JT.
I will not. I got you.
JT got me going. Me and JT both were like.
Yeah. I was pretty angry about that 15.
They made me so mad that I actually blocked Josh until the next morning. I literally blocked you in my phone.
Was that Thursday night or Friday night? Was that Thursday night?
Wednesday night.
Was it Wednesday night? So yeah.
No, maybe it was Thursday night. Maybe you're right.
Thursday night, it was the big, huge 15 run in the one inning game.
Maybe it was Friday.
And me and JT were all in the group chat with Donahue and John Howard, and me and JT both were like, season's over, we're done. And then Ken got so upset that he actually he blocked my number, and I think he turned off your phone.
Nope, just went to sleep. Yeah.
But yeah, and then you unblocked me after a while.
The next morning.
That was a long time.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, I recorded a podcast with Natasha.
You did. I didn't even know you recorded a podcast until the next morning when I unblocked you and all your messages came through. It's like, I even like texted you, and you had probably already recorded it when I texted you guys. I'm like, I texted JT, and I was like, man, maybe you should just do a podcast that's like, you know, 30 seconds long that says nothing important happened last night. We'll just post that as the podcast. And then like.
And that's when I reached out to Natasha. I sent her a DM and I said, hey, let's podcast. She goes, my body is ready. And like within an hour, we were just.
She was fantastic.
She's hilarious,
man. She was a little extreme on some of the explicit sexual acts descriptions, but
that's her brand. And honestly, I want to apologize to all of our listeners because I've done a really good job not cussing since June or July.
You really haven't, but it's okay.
No. Oh yes, I for sure. Other than that night, I have. Yes,
no,
I have.
No, you really haven't.
I've done better.
We've had one episode since July that did not include you. Actually,
well, cousin. I've done better. Can I say better? I've done better.
Sure.
I think I've done better.
Sure.
And then when I got with her, it was like she brought out the Jerry Springer in me, man. And I just got, felt like I was in middle school on the school bus backseat.
It's this woman you gave me, God. It's this woman you gave me. It's never Josh's fault. It's just, you know, this woman. She was the Eve to your Adam. She was gave you the apple to bite.
That sounds kind of like
that sounds a little inappropriate. I didn't really mean it that way. Yeah. But still, you know what I mean.
It ain't like that, right? Right?
Yeah.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
You look great, by the way.
You keep telling me this. Like, my hair's thinner than ever. I haven't lost
like, you
any
got
weight.
You got the curly thing. You look rested. I don't know.
Man.
You look good.
I'm none of the above. This is probably the closest to the truth. Oh man. We talked a lot about the NLCS yesterday. If JT makes it back, we might get some of his take on that a little later. But for now, I wanted to talk about a few things before we get rolling completely,
mm-hmm.
Josh.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an important moment for us to sing happy trails
mm-hmm.
to some storylines and some people that have been a vital part of our life for the past 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
Are you ready? Here we go.
Okay.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Mike Fultonevich. Happy trails to you, sir.
Yeah, he gone.
I'm pretty sure he's gone. I don't think he will be in Atlanta
Braves
next year.
There were some good memories. I think I know what happened, though.
Okay. I loved Mike. You know me.
You know what happened?
I was a Mike Fultonevich stan. What happened?
I'm blaming Michael Kelly.
Oh, he pumped him up too much.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got you. Oof. You know? But yeah, Mike Fultonevich, man. Dude went from top five future pitcher in the majors to, not even relevant.
Yeah.
So, JT, we were just talking about that this is a happy trails moment when we look back over the season. Yesterday, we talked about the NLCS, and we may get your thoughts a little bit on it a little later in the show. But right now, it's an important moment that we sing happy trails. And the first person I'd sing happy trails to was Mike Fultonevich, as Fulty's probably pitched his last day as an Atlanta Brave. I would be shocked if he were pitching for Atlanta next year. And we were reminiscing about some of the good moments for Fulty, you know? Remember the year of the Fulty, Josh, a couple years back when I said it was going to be the year of the Fulty, and then he actually pitched fairly decent, almost threw a no-hitter against Oakland?
I mean,
remember
I don't
that
really,
that?
Yeah. Matt Olson, right? Matt Olson was the one that broke that no-hitter up.
Well, it was like, what, the eighth or ninth?
Yeah, I mean, it was
something like
it
was late.
Late.
Yeah, it was late.
It might
late
have been the
eighth.
Yeah,
he was really good. He was really good. I miss so much potential for a guy that had no brain. Sorry, Fulty. But
yeah, he was really dumb for sure. We heard that from a source.
Yeah, we did. We were actually informed that Fulty couldn't make his way to the ballpark if someone didn't pretty much help him get his shoes on and hold his hand and get him on the bus. Happy trails to Cole Hamels.
Wow.
And
what was your
innings.
Favorite Cole Hamels start?
The only one.
Oh, that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Spring training? Didn't he have a spring training start?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I think he was hurt from the get-go. No, he was late. He reported late because he was hurt, and then he just showed up and like hung out and talked to people.
I still think he was a Philly plant, or maybe a Cardinal plant, or whatever he
Cubs.
Was. He was a plant. Cubs plant.
I would have rather them spent money on plants and just decorate around the office.
You're right. True. Would have been much better. Yeah. Happy trails to you, Sean Newcomb. I love Sean.
He gone.
You know, Josh, I've been a Sean Newcomb stan probably longer than most people. You and I remember the first day he broke into the majors and how we informed podcast listeners that this was not your average Joe prospect. That this was a legit stud, and that they don't make big lefties like him that throw the ball 98 miles an hour, which is true. Sean Newcomb could just never consistently trust his stuff to keep it over the plate. Either he didn't have control of it, or he didn't trust it. One of the two.
Sean Newcomb to me is a case study, and I mean this affectionately because I liked Sean, and like his dad is just a cool guy, but I'm talking like. On the field only, okay, because Sean loves my videos, so I just want to make that clear. So baseball, Sean, is a good case study for me of how you can be like amazing on StatCast. You can have all of the mechanics, the pitches.
Yeah.
The pitches, the advanced metrics, dude. Like if you look at his StatCast page, his vertical movements, all the stuff on StatCast that tells
his raw pitches are phenomenal.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, out of this world. But at the end of the day, you got to get batters out.
You got to throw strikes.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. It's too many walks. Too many walks is the story of Sean Newcomb's career. Hey, I guess there's a slim chance he does pitch in a Braves uniform again. You know, I'm not going to totally rule it out 100%, but it feels like
that's because of the Braves. That's because, like, in 7 years, they'll get, like, washed up Sean Newcomb after he pitches for
that's
the Royals.
That's true, too. Yeah, that's true, too.
You know, that's because
it's the Braves. And then he'll win, like, 18 games or something stupid, you know.
Right, like Anibal Sanchez or something.
You know? After he – and his velocity will be, like, 91.
More like 10 years.
But he'll remember how to throw strikes then.
In 2030, Sean Newcomb comes back. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, love Sean. This is not a shot. These are not shots at Sean. It's just looking at the way the season was.
Sean, we're professionals. Bill, we're professionals. We're just covering the sport, man. Okay. There's no emotions here. Okay.
We love you, Bill, and we'd still love to have a drink with you sometime. Happy trails, fellas. This one, you guys tell me if I'm preemptive, but happy trails, Johan Camargo.
Ooh, that's a hot take. Yeah, probably. Probably, because I think, and JT looks like he's got some thoughts about this, but to kind of piggyback on what we talked about off the record, Ken, on the phone, maybe we'll talk about it later. I think they're going to get a 80 grade third baseman. Not that that affects Camargo really, but like I don't think Camargo is that guy.
He's not going to beat out Austin Riley.
No.
So
no.
No matter what happens, even if they don't get a good at third baseman,
right?
He's not going to be that Austin Riley. And Camargo's a guy that needs to play every day, and he needs to party, like you talked about, Josh. I really do believe that's part of it.
He needs some cocaine and some girls,
and
Atlanta can't really give you that.
Played okay in the World Series as a utility guy. Like, I'm not complaining about anything Camargo does. I just don't know if I see a spot up for him on this team next year. And he was pretty much relegated to not playing in the postseason had Duvall not got hurt. You know.
Yeah, so, I'm not sure he's good.
JT, what do you think?
He had a good year. That one year where, like, okay, he had a decent year. It wasn't an all-star year. It wasn't like some had a solid year once and then has just been pretty bad ever since.
I think he's
a good utility guy.
Yeah, I don't even think he's a good utility guy in the sense of the way they tend to use utility guys.
Okay.
I think it mainly, and you pointed this out, Josh, like this is to your point. I think Johan Camargo needs to go to a team like the Pirates, and he needs to play every day for an entire year with no competition. Like, just play. And the more he plays, the better he'll get. I truly believe he just got to learn how to hit major league pitching consistently and, like, be consistent. I think that's what he needs. And the Braves are not the place for him to learn to do that. You know,
Johan Camargo's the kind of guy that could be, like, Didi Gregorius-ish if he played for the Yankees.
I can see that, yeah.
Like, put his ego on that kind of team and, like, balls out just, like...
I
think he's good, man.
This is weird, but I bet Johan Camargo, before his career's over, has a year like Chris Johnson... and then gets paid, and then never does anything else ever again. Like, he has a one-year deal, like, and some team gives him, like, a four-year deal because he was awesome 1 year, and then he never does
good
anything.
I still remember where I was when I heard that we had re-signed Johnson and gotten a nice deal for him, and I was like, awesome. Like, yeah.
Oh, same here.
Chris
same
Johnson
here. Yeah,
for the next
5 years,
like, man, cool. We got third base tied up. That's great. Wow.
What is it about Braves and signing guys with the last name Johnson and thinking they got a really good deal out of this signing?
Hey, Kelly
Johnson.
Careful.
Kelly Johnson.
Whoa. This is a Kelly Johnson apologist podcast.
Yeah, but Josh, he's not like a top-tier player. Like, that's the point.
Debatable.
Chris Johnson, Kelly Johnson, Jim Johnson.
Elliot Johnson.
Elliot Johnson.
Remember those
Jim
6 weeks
Johnson
he was a Brave? That was great.
And his FIP. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, the Braves were all about signing guys with a big Johnson contract. And it's the Big Johnson contract for the Braves. That's what it was, you know.
Kelly Johnson was amazing.
While fellas, this one's painful, but happy trails. This is the most painful one of them all, fellas. Or, well, there's maybe one other. Happy
Say
trails.
It. Say it.
To Luke Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Probably.
I think we're at the end of the road with the Braves version of Luke Jackson.
Their bullpen's so good. They don't need, their bullpen is so elite. And
Melanson's not coming back.
No.
This is kind of like when like your band, like you're in a band and you make it. Like your band gets signed to Columbia,
mm-hmm.
but the bass player, he's okay. And you feel really bad because he's your buddy.
Mm-hmm.
But you just got signed by Columbia, which means you have to go on tour.
Yeah.
Okay. Like you have to go on.
Okay.
So Luke Jackson is our Pete Best, and they're like, yeah. This guy's name is Ringo. Yeah. That's really cool. His name is really Ringo Starr. We have to have him.
Okay. Like, so Luke Jackson. I will say this: the caveat on this is it's probably not the last time we see Luke Jackson in a Braves uniform. He's got one more year arbitration, so the Braves have control of him for next season. So you'll probably see Luke Jackson in a Braves uniform again.
Chad Sabatka is still around. Luke Jackson should still be around.
That being said, he'll be a UFA after that. So I could actually see Luke Jackson getting traded this offseason in a deal for something else. Just saying. Again, he didn't make the postseason roster, fellas. And I got to be honest, he was terrible this year.
He was.
Like, him, but he was bad.
Like, I know we're going to probably recap the year, but honestly, before the playoffs, I didn't pay that much attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just see Twitter and I would see tweets about how terrible he was. And when Grant tweeted it, that's when I knew. That's when I was like, man, I guess he's actually not very good this year. Because even Grant McCauley was like, Luke Jackson's been terrible this year.
Yeah.
You know, when
you've
lost McCauley, like, you've lost everyone. Like, he's the last one. He's the last bastion of, like.
He's so reasonable. He's so smart with, you know, he's
knows. Like, I remember, talking to him after a game. I was with Donna and him. This is how I name drop Josh. And like Sam Freeman, I was like, Sam Freeman had blown a game. And then he's like, after spending 3 minutes, Grant totally had me convinced that Sam Freeman's not that bad. And everything about using Sam Freeman all the time makes a ton of sense. And I was like, oh, okay. That's a good point. Like, that's just how rational he is. So when you lost Grant, you're done. Pack your bags.
Bye.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, what? I bet you didn't see this one coming. Mm. Happy trails to you, Tyler Flowers.
Oh yeah.
He'll never put on a Braves uniform again.
Should. I mean, come on. It's
William Contreras will be the
Alex Jackson,
second.
Shea Langeliers.
Yeah. Darno's there. That's sad, and there's no more contract for Flowers. Like, this was the end of his deal. So
let me just say, first of all, I kind of agree with you, reluctantly. But I think we owe at Braves in the UK a shout out because our friend over the pond at Braves in the UK dedicated his whole Twitter presence to starting Tyler Flowers in the NLCS. Honestly, I didn't really disagree with him. Honestly, even though, I mean, I love Travis d'Arnaud, but, you know, and I think that's not why they lost, but I think Flowers should have gotten some love, okay?
I thought 7 games in 7 days, Tyler Flowers should have started at least one of them.
Yeah.
Just to give d'Arnaud a little rest.
But shout out to at Braves in the UK, I don't know his actual name, but dude loves Tyler Flowers.
He does.
But
so does Handley it. Or Baseball GIFs account now.
It's actually Tyler Flowers' dad.
Oh, well, I can see that. Yeah. I do love some Tyler Flowers, fellas. You know, we defended Tyler Flowers. He's not the best batter of all time. About a .230 average. He had that one season, you know, where he hit .270, though. He had a pretty good year 2 years ago.
I've referred to him as the only Flowers that allows you to not score. but
I like him. I've probably defended him too much.
Solid. Like, he's a solid catching option.
He's a very good WRAA or however they rate it.
Because of Tyler Flowers, I bought in maybe too much. Okay, but I totally bought into the whole pitch framing thing. He was on Ben Lindbergh's podcast, like the Ringer thing or whatever, two summers ago. It was really good. And I bought into it. I did.
Yeah. But. So happy trails to those people. Todd Flowers is the name I think most people won't think about that won't be on this team next year. And yet will be a huge improvement. Like, and it's not because Flowers was trash, but Wilton Contreras is the real dude. William Contreras is the real thing, man. Like,
yeah, he's a stud, man.
He's going to be a stud. And so adding Contreras and Darno together behind the plate, oh my gosh. Woo. That's a lot
think
of
about Think about like, the, and we'll get to this though, but like, think about a lineup with like Acuna, Pache, Dansby, Freeman, Contreras.
Yeah.
Like, and this, I mean,
and being able to give Darno rest and keep Contreras right there.
I've heard
there.
That you know, like, front office really likes Langoliers too. So I don't know if it's true, totally Contreras' job. I mean, you could see somebody, there's going to be an odd man out. So
eventually. Josh is looking up who Langoliers is right now. He's never heard of him before.
Yeah. Are you trolling?
Shea
no,
Langoliers.
They drafted him a couple
like
years
second
ago.
Second round Josh. Pick, yeah. like 2 years ago.
Shea.
From out of Baylor.
His name's Shea. Langoliers. So,
yeah. I've been the first. Was he a first round pick or a second round pick? Who's up there?
I think he was first, I think.
My biggest thing with him is, are we going to, when he hits a homer, are we either going to have to call him Shea Bangaliers or Shea Out of Here's? And I'm not sure.
What about Dangaliers? Dangaliers.
No. I like Bangaliers.
Bangaliers. More like Shea Out of Here's.
When he's clutch, he's clutch, we could say Dangaliers, perhaps.
Dang.
Yeah. Does he have big ears? That would be
Shea had big ears.
I'm just saying. Yeah. Yeah.
Or like dangle, 4 years ago.
Dangle ears.
Bay, whatever happened, is Bay not cool anymore? That was like 4 years ago. Right? That was like,
yeah,
that was still 2016.
Going out of old. Yeah. Bay. Fellas, and I guess this is kind of an honorable mention, happy trails looking into the future. Happy trails, Marcelo Ozuna, because there's like a 10% chance the Braves re-sign him. I hope they do. I hope they do, but until there's some clarity on the DH, there's no way that they're going to sign him. And if they get some clarity on the DH, if the NL is going to adopt the DH, the Braves have the money to do it. There's like no doubt
they, totally
they have
do.
The money to do it.
They do, but I think he goes to the Yankees.
I don't think the Yankees have room for him. He's a DH. Giancarlo Stanton is their DH, who, like I told JT at the beginning of this year, can't play more than 60 games in a season. But and in a 60-game season, he can't play more than 20 games in a season. But, again, I don't really see where Marcel is going to fit on that team. You know, maybe, though. My guess is he's a Red Sox or something, some other team that's got stupid money that pays way too much.
I could see
maybe
that.
We can get him get him at a discount. Maybe he liked Atlanta.
Seriously,
on Marcel,
but it's not happening. Marcel, shame for shame. JT.
I hope he just really liked being here and had a blast and wants to come back. And because I don't know, we'll have a stupid amount of money. Just between Melanson and Hamels coming off the books, right there is $32 million between those
There's
two.
There's $77 million coming off the books.
Yeah, so I think we can be okay.
$77 million.
Yep.
Holy crap.
That's what I read today. And, you know, Freddie Freeman's about to probably get an extension this offseason. Both parties have basically said they want it. I get the feeling it's going to happen. So I think you'll see a big deal for him. I think I do. So some people said Ozuna re-signing is below 10%. I put it a little higher than that. I think there's like a 25% chance Ozuna re-signs with Atlanta. I do think JT say. So here's what it is, Josh. I do think what JT said actually matters. And this is why. Ozuna is not American. And Latino players don't always go for the biggest dollar. Look at Ronald Acuna. Look at Ozzy Albies. Look at several of these guys. They don't merely go to who pays the most money. They go and they sign deals where they like playing baseball.
And the Braves have a history of fleecing immigrants who don't know any better.
Yeah, that's it. They're just stupid immigrants.
We've done it with Albies. We've done it with Acuna. We'll probably do it with
Soroka.
That's
what people have told us. Yeah.
Freeman's like half Canadian, so he's a dumb foreigner. He won't know any better. That's what we do. We just take advantage of foreigners. So
yeah,
we'll get him to re-sign like a 5-year deal for like $15 million. And
yeah, there you go.
Pete Orr? Pete Orr was one of those guys.
That was the first time I remember it happening. Was they took advantage
crazy
of
crazy Canadian
of Ontario's own
R.A.
Pete Orr.
R.A. Dickey.
I think R.A. Dickey's actually from Tennessee.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's from Nashville, you dumbass.
He lived in Toronto. He lived in Toronto for a long time.
He's from, like, Johnson City or somewhere.
Let's be honest. Johnson City's like an international place.
No, I think he's from Nashville.
Oh, okay.
I know he played it. He played it at UT, so.
Yeah.
Yes, he. The Ken's defense, he did play for the Blue Jays once.
He played for the Blue Jays for like
therefore,
5 years.
He's Canadian.
Yeah, he's Canadian. He learned their ways. Yeah. He's been adopted into Canadian society. Again, Mike Soroka, another Canadian that we've taken advantage of.
That's a guy I want to see. There's no cool way to say you want to see a guy extended. But him and Fried are also going to be knocking on the doors of, hey, we need to lock these guys up.
Pay them some money.
No
Pay
doubt.
Them boys some money. But yeah, happy trails to all those guys. And I truly mean that. Like, happy trails. Those guys were fun, brave stories. With the exception of Cole Hamels, all those guys I kind of liked, at least at some point. You know? Like, I thought they were cool. Unlike Josh with a backwards hat doing the dance that he's doing right now.
This is how the kids wear the caps now. I don't know if you guys know that. Like, Nikki's got some little cousins down in South Georgia.
Yeah.
They're like redneck fisherman dudes. They're like mini Sam Hunts.
They wear them like down on their eyebrows. It's so weird.
They wear their hat like I can't even get mine down that way.
Like, do you see how
you have to jack the back up, JT? You have to jack the back up, JT, so that it actually like sits right about the back crown of your head. There
like
you
this.
Go. You're getting there. Yeah.
You gotta. Push up.
No,
the back.
No.
Though.
You don't
push
have
up
it
the
up.
Back.
You don't have it up.
Push up the back.
There you go. There you go.
That's
right.
Almost it.
Just getting closer. Yeah, JT. Yeah. For those not listening, JT's trying.
Sorry.
And he's now giving up. Guys, let's talk about the season a little more. Some unexpected contributors this season. JT, most unexpected contributor. Ooh, go.
Most unexpected contributor this year has to be Ian Anderson. I didn't expect me to be a part of this, especially in the playoffs. You know, we thought, hey, if maybe we'll get a chance to see him if some one person goes down. But think how low he was, like on the like. What were we waiting for? Like, why were Robbie Irwin and Tommy Malone, quicker options than Ian Anderson? Knowing what we know now about Ian, you know,
because
now we've got our at least until Soroka gets back, our number two starter locked in next year. Ian Anderson.
Yeah.
No one has improved their stock within the franchise more than him to me.
Yeah, nailed it. What about you, Josh? Most unexpected player for you?
It has to be Adam Duvall.
Okay.
And let me qualify that with, like, I've always liked Adam Duvall, but like I've said before on the podcast, I thought Adam Duvall gives you, like, really awesome defense, and, like, he's going to hit 211 and maybe hit 19 dingers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that dude shows up and becomes 1989 Barry Bonds on live TV. Like, was incredible.
To be fair, he only batted 237.
Did he really? You know, okay.
Yeah, but in his defense, he...
What was his, like, OPS and stuff? What was the OPS?
He had the seventh most home runs in the National League.
It's crazy.
He hit 16 home runs. His OBP was only 301, but his OPS was 833.
Okay.
Pretty dang good.
Also, can I have a second one? Can I have Marcell Ozuna?
Marcell Ozuna. Yeah.
When they got him, I told you guys I looked at his batting average and I saw like 241 or something. I was like, oh Lord Almighty, here we go.
Yeah. And what's funny about that is, Josh, you're not even really like that guy that's a batting average only guy.
I'm not.
But like
I troll about
like
it, but I'm not.
You actually pay attention to WRC Plus and all this stuff. But you like to be honest though, Josh. Marcell Ozuna hasn't played like this in like 4 years. When he was in the Marlins, he played like this 1 year. You know, not quite to this level, but he was incredible. But he was not this way with the Cardinals. And that's why I say there's a better than 10% chance he signs with Atlanta, because something worked for him. He didn't play like this with the Cardinals last year.
Yeah. But baseball's weird. I want to also say this to our listeners, because I think people need to hear this. And it's not going to sink in on Twitter, because Twitter is just like they're drooling at the mouth. And
sure.
He's going to get the same treatment, the Donaldson effect. Is everybody on Twitter is going to be like, if you really care, you'll re-sign Ozuna. Bring back Ozuna, man.
They're going to make him peppermint cookies, right? Or
let me tell you
gingerbread houses.
Right.
Yeah.
Us three have been watching baseball since at least 1990-91, maybe earlier. Ozuna's been out of this world this year. However, that does not mean that he will be out of this world in 2021. Why?
Correct.
Because baseball. Yeah. Because baseball. And there's lots of other players. So if the Braves don't bring him back, I guarantee you, just like every other time, Anthopoulos is going to actually get a badass in there. It's going to be fine.
And I will guarantee you, like every other time, that Braves bloggers lose their mind.
Oh, they'll totally lose their mind.
Let's remember, he played really well this year, over 60 games. And if you add in the playoffs, that's, what, 75 games. So almost he almost had half a good season. Let's just be honest about it, okay? True. So, yeah, he's a career 241 hitter
to be fair,
that had a really good half a year with us.
To be fair, if he didn't hit again, he would have still had a really good season. He had 18 home runs, and he was batting like 325. He would have been like a 230, the 22 home runs.
Ended before we could see the second half of that. Was there a downfall coming later on? Does he? I mean, I believe in regression to the mean. You are who you are at a certain point in your career. And so I think you would have seen a downslide where he comes back close. Now, he wasn't mathematically, it'd be really hard for him to hit 241 this year. Like, you have to go fall off the face of the earth. But I think it, honestly, could you expect him to hit over 300 for the rest of, you know, for 162 games for the next 3-4 years? No, probably not. That's not the type of hitter.
I agree with JT.
I mean, that being said, sometimes it clicks too. Yeah. Nelson Cruz is a freak and it's happened for him. So
it's
I'm just saying
the sample
like,
size is small.
Like I'm not poo-pooing away on re-signing Ozuna, but it's also
we've seen guys play really well in Atlanta for like 60 games. Yeah. And it was like, it just fell apart. So let's not act like he's figured it out and it's a whole new guy. Let somebody else overpay for him.
All right, so for me, most unexpected, right? Tyler Matzek.
Yeah.
Dude came out of nowhere, was pitching in the indie leagues because of anxiety. Like, he had performance anxiety and could not pitch. Basically, the yips is what that means. Mm-hmm. And, like, dude pitched, like, I mean, look, people may complain because he gave up a home run in Game 7, but Tyler Matzek was a beast in the NLCS. He was just phenomenal. The entire postseason, he was phenomenal. And I'm not going to, you know, he was most unexpected and just out of this world good.
Yeah.
Plus, he's kind of like a baby.
Did he give up a home run in Game 7? That was Minter.
Yeah. Minter did.
And Martin.
Too. Minter, Martin.
I think they scored on a double.
Oh, no. Maybe Matzek did.
But
Matzek loaded the bases
he
and then got
good.
Out of
he,
it.
Yeah, he struck him out. But he looked.
That's right. That's right.
He looked a little overused by the end. But
oh, but for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, for the year he had. Holy cow. Like.
Well, that's what we talked about last night, JT, was 7 games series in 7 days is a terrible idea. For everyone except for fans watching. This anxiety thing, it like nearly killed us. Like,
I needed that 15-3 drubbing so I could take a game off and not care. Because like mentally and emotionally, I'm just like, you know, by the eighth inning of Game 7, I'm like, we just end it. Just whatever you do, don't go and win it in 16 innings. I can't do this. You know, like
my lovely wife, Cynthia, she was talking about that, you know, normally you get this nice little plateau and on an off game, the tension kind of drops back down and you reset and start back up again. But like in this one, it's just like anxiety. You know, you're like losing your mind.
You'll often see like if you're watching like a big wrestling pay-per-view, I did this just for Josh, you'll have a big match. And then like right before the main event, you'll have the match between like the two midget wrestlers or, you know, the two.
Yeah. Like
you'll have
nothing.
And they call it a get up match. Gives a chance for people to get up, grab a Coke, grab a popcorn and like reset their batteries. So that way they're on full tilt and ready to go when the main event's there and they need the crowd to be live.
Josh, you know this from live concerts and playing concerts. If you play a concert and you do nothing but build your, like, if you do nothing but build your catalog and you go from your worst song to your best song, people lose it. Like, it doesn't work. You like, if you go to a name your favorite singer, Chris Stapleton, you know, whoever, you go to their concert, there's going to be, he's going to kick it off with one of his favorites, then it's going to drop back. And then he's going to amp it up, and then somewhere along the way, they're going to play some little cover of somebody else that's not, I mean, it's cool, but it's not like, you know, it's like you talked about, JT. It's like a get-up song. If you've ever been to a worship service, like in a church with a good worship leader. You'll see the same kind of thing. Like there's a build and then there's kind of this ebb back down with something that's a little bit clappy that everybody can kind of just kind of check out a little bit on. And then it like builds back up again. And it's not like some magic recipe, but that it does. People need that ability to breathe. You know, they need that ability to kind of, especially with us being built in this like commercial world where everything lasts 2.5 minutes and then we get another commercial break, you know, two and a half minutes and then another commercial break. So anyway, going back, I went all the way back digging in our archives, Josh, and you skipped this episode.
Oh God.
But me and JT sat down in episode 150 and we made some predictions about what were going to happen this series. And I just thought we'd revisit them. Okay. A couple funny things. JT asked, who did we think would lead the league in home runs? Now, this was before we knew about COVID. This was before we knew there was a 60-game season. This was when we thought there was going to be a regular season, okay? JT guessed Mr. Bellinger and Mr. Trout. Trout was fourth in all of baseball. Or maybe it was American League. I'm not sure. He was fourth. Bellinger was 31st. I guessed Freddie Freeman. He was 24th.
Hmm.
In doing this research, though, fellas, I found out an interesting stat. The Braves. How many Braves do you think hit in the top 25 in home runs?
Hang on. Let me think. Freddie, Ozuna, Duvall. Was Ronnie Acuna? Four.
That's very good. How many did Darno hit? I was curious.
I thought Darno was up there.
Oh, maybe five then.
I did not see his name. He's not in the top 25. Oh, okay. He only hit nine home runs. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It felt like more than that because catchers play in games and, you know, they share time and all that stuff. But, yeah, four. Marcel was three. Duvall was seven. Acuna was 18. And Freddie was 24. So
Freddie was lower than I thought. I would have.
Now, that's not just 25 guys. There was several guys that shared a position on that. You know, that was just top 25 numbers, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, it was kind of neat. We also said, how many times would the Astros be beamed, JT? we talked about this, and you clarified. You said, I don't think it will be as many as people think because I think people will want to beat them more than beam them. Sure enough, the Astros were only hit 23 times, which was 11th most in the American League alone.
Wow.
So that's probably like...
Interesting.
I didn't look up the whole league numbers, but I'm guessing that's somewhere around 20th in all of baseball. So, like, not hit that much, you know, in the grand scheme of things. Interesting fact.
I think a lot of people would be afraid to hit them because they'd automatically think there was underlying intentions and people were afraid of getting, you know, you pitch inside, usually it's no warning. You know, but
yeah,
against the Astros, hey, if you hit a batter in the first inning, there's warnings going out right away, and now you've, you know, kind of messed things up. So,
good point.
Yep. Let's see.
Which comes down to MLB, you suck.
Yeah. Because you, you handcuffed everybody by already saying,
right,
hey, there's going to be warnings issued if you hit the Astros. Like,
right.
Yep.
Right. Get out of here, man. Get out of here with your dictatorship.
Yeah. Crap. Now you're telling me, you know, I got to pitch against the Astros and I can't pitch inside without worrying about it?
Yeah. Get out of here.
Hey, guys, do you want to know what's cool? Game 7 of the Braves-Dodgers drew more viewership than any game of the NBA playoffs.
That is awesome.
Yeah, have you seen the NBA playoff ratings, though?
Get woke, go broke, man. No, seriously, like they were terrible.
It's literally a Black Lives Matter.
One third of the ratings from last year's funds.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy is...
This had LeBron and the Lakers.
People are trying to argue that it's like crazy. Not political, and I'm like, are you watching anything?
The Toronto Raptors last year,
there
was 18.1 million watching them went down to 6 in the final game of the viewers this year. Yeah. That's with the Golden State Warriors and the Toronto Raptors. Not exactly outside of Steph Curry, not exactly then people
guys,
recognize.
And let's be clear.
Biden's going to win in a landslide.
Oh, yeah, that's it. you know what's crazy is it's not, no one watching disagrees with the statement that Black Lives Matter. people just don't like their sports being political. Like, stop it. We don't watch sports for your politics, you know?
Well, here's how I say it. Here's how I say it. Black Lives Matter, but the Black Lives Matter organization's trash.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Of course everybody agrees that Black Lives Matter, but what it's become, man, is it's really embarrassing. It really is. And I know I got some black friends that think that. It's terrible, man. It's so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
Other crazy predictions that we made, JT, at the beginning of the year, you and I discussed crazy trade predictions, okay? And you brought up, you thought Noah Syndergaard might be a trade candidate. Turns out Noah Syndergaard was a Tommy John candidate.
It was one of the two. It was a 50-50 shot.
I had thrown out the idea of Giancarlo Stanton. He, too, was a Tommy John candidate. No, I'm just saying, like, he was on the DL the entire season, which proved my point, JT, because my point was that I thought that New York might actually try to trade him because he can't stay healthy and on the field. So it's still probably not going to happen. But anyway, and then the one thing you and I both agreed on that we were so certain of was that Francisco Lindor would be traded.
Yeah, well, I mean, it seemed like he was.
Yeah, and instead it was Mike Clevenger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all want to talk about some other MLB weirdness in a 60-game season? You were talking about Ozuna having won 60 great games, right? Or he was fantastic over a 60-game season. Christian Yelich went from the MVP of baseball to batting .205.
That's unreal.
Seriously, like, how do you play that bad? For like, the first 3 weeks of the season,
really
he was batting, like, .114.
I forgot about that. I forgot how bad Yelich has been.
I mean, it was bad. Now, he hit some homers. I guess he kind of, like...
That is really interesting.
It's really interesting. I don't know. Like, maybe his hot mom couldn't be at the game, and that's why, like...
I was gonna bring her up. Does it have something to do with hot mom?
You know what they say, kid. You are what you eat. So
wait,
makes sense that he played like ass for 60 games.
Wow!
That was incredible.
I don't know where to go from here.
That was incredible.
So Josh, I've never heard of this. Okay, check this out. Yelich had a .205 average, right? Guess what his OBP was without looking it up.
.280, .270.
What do you think?
I think it's high. I think he got walked an incredible amount. I'm just guessing here, just because he's not a lot else to be afraid of in that lineup.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
.470.
Okay, not that insane. His on base percentage, .356 with a .205 average.
Oh, really?
Like, not bad. That's 150 points he gained. Like, what? Jeez. That's insane. That's like, I've never heard of someone batting .205 and having a .356 on base.
You got to factor, like, okay, if you're playing the Brewers, I know one guy's not going to beat me. Now, who else they got?
That's true.
Who's protected him in that lineup? And I know it's
a
caveman thought to think of, like, lineup protection as being a thing that matters, but
it definitely does in those situations. You can just walk him.
Do y'all remember when OBP was, like, cool?
Yeah. I watched Moneyball today, actually.
Moneyball, right? Yeah.
It's a really, really good baseball movie.
You know what's crazy about, you watch a movie like Moneyball, and people get this idea that what Billy Beane was trying to do was get OBP. Mm-hmm. But, and he was, I mean, there's no doubt. But what Billy Beane was trying to do was it wasn't about OBP as much as people wanted it. Like there were people that bought onto that and then tried to, like, rebuild what Billy did using OBP. And what Billy actually did was Billy looked at all of baseball and he said, what free agents are available that have strengths that can amalgamate to what I got out of these other players? And OBP was what was available on the slate that year. But I think you look at, like, Alex Anthopoulos, and he is doing what Billy Beane did. He looked at the Atlanta Braves, and he said, how do I replace runs on this team with Josh Donaldson leaving, right? Mm-hmm. I, and he acquired Adam Duvall a year ahead of time, right? He looked at the future and he said, these are the ways we do this while rebuilding without going out and signing mega contracts, you know, without putting bukus of money into a team to do it. And I think teams that win figure out what is the underappreciated value in Major League Baseball, and they go get those guys. It's not just like OBP. You know, it's like if OBP is now valued, then what's the next thing that's not being valued? You know, is it defensive runs? Is it – well, I mean, we saw it with Anthopoulos and with Copy. You know, pitch framing. Like they bought into it early, and they stole value from guys like Tyler Flowers by paying them almost nothing and adding, quote, home runs, right, by taking away runs at the plate. That's how they balance the run differential in a way, you know. And that sounds like really advanced stat stuff, but it's really not. I mean, it's like really just looking at the situation and saying, what is the market valuing and where does that leave value on the table that we can go and get cheaper, you know. That's really, I mean, that's smart. And I don't really know where I was going with this, but it seems like something people
Alex
don't pay enough attention to.
Is a genius is where you're going with that.
Maybe so.
He's an architect. That's what I think.
I like that word. I think architect makes sense, and I think that's why most Braves fans on Twitter can't follow him. Is when he's building the foundation, they're looking for a roof. And when he's wanting a roof, they're trying to build a foundation. Right. Like, yeah. Like, he knows structurally what he needs, not just, hey, I need a name. You know, I don't just need a Marcelo Zuna. I need 25 homers, 300 batting average.
I do think, too,
you know,
and this sounds like it sounds like I'm being a negative Nancy a little bit, but there is sometimes a little bit of luck involved, I think. I think this is a hot take. This is so hot, I don't even know if I want to tweet it. But I think going into this season, Anthopoulos wasn't like, we're going to make the playoffs. I think Anthopoulos was like, you know what? We're going to give the fans, you know, a good product. We think we're pretty good. But I don't think he had super high expectations. Maybe playoffs, but not in LCS. I don't think so.
I don't know. I think he did.
I think Marcelo Zuna shocked him just as much as he shocked me.
I don't think anybody could be sure how to navigate this season because it's so un-baseball-like. You know,
I agree.
Like,
and I think
right. I think 3 weeks
Tyler
into Matzik, the season, he might have felt that way.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he expected Matzik to do what he did.
No, of course not.
I think after Mike Soroka breaks his Achilles or cuts it or whatever he did to it, like, I think maybe that's true then, but I think going into the season, this team really thought World Series. Like, I think Anthopoulos was thinking World Series.
I think going
like,
into
I,
the
I
year,
don't think...
but I think once they restructured everything.
I actually don't think that, but...
it was the 60-game schedule. I think everybody went into it going, well, we think we're good, but we don't know what this is going to bring, you know?
Josh, help me understand. Why would you think they wouldn't? After going to the NLDS 2 years in a row, people getting better... sure, they lost Josh Donaldson, but like he was the only piece they lost, and they made the bullpen significantly better, at least on paper. Like on the paper, it was an elite bullpen even before the season started. Why do you think they wouldn't have had that kind of high expectation?
So I don't think that Cole Hamels was like this super elite stud. I don't think they thought that.
No, I don't think so either. I think they signed Cole Hamels to be a fifth starter.
Okay. I don't, other than Soroka and maybe a little bit of Fried, I don't think they thought that we have this amazing elite rotation yet.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't think that they expected Travis d'Arnaud to play as good as he did.
I think they did.
Okay.
I think that's why they gave him all the money.
Okay. I don't think they expected all of it. I don't think they expected Azuna to be as good as he was.
I don't think anybody could expect him to be an MVP.
Yeah, true.
Azuna played with a triple crown. I mean, that's ridiculous. Coming from a career 241 hitter. I mean, and you're right, there is luck involved. Well, who would have thought Azuna does what he did this year and Christian Yelich does what he did this year? I mean,
Yeah, baseball
should be swapped.
I think,
you know? I'm just saying there's luck involved. Yeah. There's luck involved, and I think and I'm not and I'm the guy saying that Anthopoulos is an architect, and like I think he's one, top three GMs in baseball. I really think that, but I do think that there was some luck involved.
I think there's some luck, but I think there's also a lot less luck than some people would think, because I think they could look at Ozuna and say he profiles as a guy
that's racist
that fits certain things to be able to be on a breakout. Insane low. He's had insane BABIP negativity over the last 2 years. Like, his BABIP over the last 2 years was something like 200. It was ridiculous. And I think they know how to coach guys in particular ways. I think that the hitting coach for the Atlanta Braves is the best hitting coach in baseball, second maybe to the Dodgers.
He did revolutionize Flowers' career. I mean, even though, like,
wait. Let me walk you through who he revolutionized. Travis d'Arnaud, Marcell Ozuna, Dansby Swanson. Dansby Swanson. Are you not giving me Dansby Swanson?
I'm giving you Dansby Swanson. I'm just not. I don't know if like it's hitting coaches credit. I don't know. All of them.
I mean, he's going to get the credit. Team's hitting well, and he's the hitting coach. I mean, right. So it's not like you can subtract that.
I understand that, but like,
Marcelo Zuna did not contend for a triple crown with a different hitting coach.
Okay.
Travis d'Arnaud looked like Chase d'Arnaud's brother until he was with this hitting coach.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, Travis came up, he finally realized the potential. He was a highly regarded prospect, but he came up with the Mets and just never clicked in New York. He was their big catching prospect. And never clicked, and it seemed like, okay, this year he finally kind of discovered who he was supposed to be from the get-go. And he had a good year last year. I mean,
let's add another one. Adam Duvall.
Well, yeah, but he sucked before with the same hitting coach.
It takes time for some guys to fix things.
Here's a question. Okay, little theory here.
Yeah.
What if Seitzer, what if he changed himself a little bit this year compared to last year? Because it seemed like this year the Braves were more aggressive at the plate, kind of across the board, going after first pitch like all the time. Sure. And they weren't like that last year. In fact,
they did strike out the most of any team in baseball last year, second to the Dodgers.
They did? Okay. I don't know what I'm talking about.
They did strike out a lot last year, but I'm not saying you're wrong. Like, I do think
maybe I'm an idiot, but like, I don't look at a hitting coach and a pitching coach as being all that impactful at the major league level.
Agree to disagree.
Okay. We should have on, we should have on like an expert.
Yeah.
To probably school me in why I'm wrong about
it. I would seriously like to hear from somebody. You know who I'd like to hear from? Matt Marksberry.
Matt on. Yeah.
Or somebody like him that's been in that experience, and like, what difference do they make? Do they actually help or hurt, and those kinds of things? Because I have no idea. Like, I'll be honest. Like, everything, the framework for my story and my understanding of it is just like whatever I've pieced together and put together myself.
I have heard stories of guys leaving teams that had crappy pitching and hitting coaches, and talking about how terrible they were, and then go like the Orioles. I've heard stories of guys leaving, like pitchers leaving the Orioles, and kind of throwing shade in like press conferences about it, and be like, yeah, you know, they had me do these things and it just wasn't working. And I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad.
I kind of feel that way, like about Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay figures out what guys do and make them great at what they do. You know, Randy Arozarena, nobody ever heard of this dude, and then Tampa gets him and is like, yeah, we're going to turn this dude into a superstar, you know, like by crafting the way he plays baseball. And they do that with pitchers over and over and over. And then you see a pitcher like Chris Archer leave Tampa and turn into like a pumpkin, you know, and it really makes you like, well, maybe they understand something, you know. Guys, speaking of which, speaking of Randy Arozarena, oh yeah, Chris Bryant sucked this year too. That was weird. But speaking of, Dark Horse, Braves sign, get Chris Bryant this offseason, because he sucked. and they think there's room for improvement. I don't know. Dark Horse. Throwing that out there. Here we go, though, fellas. Wrap this episode up. It's been a little bit long here, but I think it's important. First question, do you care about baseball at all now that the Braves aren't in it?
No, this year, let me explain. Let me explain. Usually, I still would be interested, actually, in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I'm not, like, honestly, I didn't even know that game one happened tonight. Honest to God, until I started podcasting and I saw Natasha tweet about it. I swear to God. I don't care about watching the Dodgers in Tampa Bay. I just don't. I hope Tampa Bay beats them, but, like, I don't care.
I agree. I think part of it is I think I watched the two best teams in baseball play each other in the NLCS.
I don't know. Tampa Bay's pretty good.
They are, and I hope they beat the Dodgers. Yeah. But they're not the Dodgers. They're not the Dodgers. Like, they may beat the Dodgers in the World Series. The Dodgers is the better team. Like, I'm just saying.
Is there fans at these?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're playing more fans than Tampa Bay usually gets at their games. So that's.
That's
them.
Actually true. Yeah,
dude, I've been there, man.
It's like playing in a Home Depot. Yeah. It's terrible.
No wonder they wanted a 60-game season with no fans. No. It was like literally they were used to it. Like they've been doing this.
They
for
have fans
10
in their
years.
Games. It's just they're wearing Yankees colors, and it's when the Yankees come to.
That's true. True.
That's it.
True.
I'm interested. I got the game going now. I'm watching. I really feel rejuvenated. I wasn't even mad the Braves lost. It felt like. The future is bright. I'm excited to be. I'm ready for Chop Fest. I'm ready for offseason moves.
People will make fun of you for saying that, though, JT. Because the future is bright is not acceptable anymore. Wes Blankenship informed us all in his Twitter video that the future is bright is like just something people say that accept failure and defeat.
Well, yeah, I mean, but considering
I like Wes,
I know a lot of baseball, and I know this team at one point had their entire starting rotation out. You know, and they started three rookie pitchers in the NLCS, and, you know, half their team is under the age of 25. I'll take it. We're in a much better spot.
Me too.
One out of the five teams in our division has to go to the playoffs next year. At least one. And we're in the best position out of anybody. So I'll take it. I'm excited for it, man. I can't wait to the offseason. I think AA is a great GM. We'll have a good plan. Soroka being back. The pitching staff is what's exciting to me. When Soroka gets back going, Fried and Anderson, Kyle Wright can rediscover everything he was doing before the playoffs started. That'd be great. Mm-hmm. Or before the Game 3 debacle.
We talked about that last night, JT, and I want to get your take on it real fast before we wrap up. I said that I didn't think Kyle Wright pitched that bad. He had to get five outs in the first.
Well, yeah. I mean,
And then once the quicksand started, he did start pitching bad after that. But, like, the first three, four, even four outs, I didn't really think he was all that bad. It was just, you know, bad luck.
Yeah, and it just kind of snowballs, and what can you do? I mean, and everybody's got them, man. There's Hall of Famers that go out and throw stinkers, you know.
Ask Clayton Kershaw how his postseason has gone for him, you know, when not pitching against the Brewers. Let me get your World Series picks, fellas. I don't care. I won't watch a single minute of it.
I don't care. I hope
but
the Rays
who
win,
are you picking?
I don't know.
Okay.
I want the Rays, but I'm going to say Dodgers in six. They've got too much hitting.
I will say the Dodgers in five. I think the Dodgers are awake now, and their pitching is not really all that great. They pitched well in game seven. Their pitching is not phenomenal. It's good. I think the Rays can hit them. But I think at the end of the day, the Dodgers – I don't think the Rays have enough to stop the Dodgers, you know, is the biggest thing. So, I'll take the Dodgers in five. And I think it's a boring World Series, but that's just because the Braves aren't in it probably.
I'm telling you, if the Braves aren't in it, I still watch it. There's still excitement. There's something about – maybe it's just the Rays and the Dodgers. I don't feel excitement about this. I don't.
All right. Maybe so. JT, I do need – to wrap this entire thing up with this question for you.
Keep saying that, Ken. You keep saying goodbye. You're like my meemaw. Like she'll say goodbye 30 times you'll walk out to the car with and you're trying to get away from her. Lord Almighty.
That's true.
We're trying to wrap it up here.
Yeah, JT, how should I cook my pork butt that I bought this week?
Slow and low. Dry rub, inject it, a little apple juice. It's always good.
Okay.
And then depends on the type of smoker you got.
I don't have a smoker. Okay. So how am I doing it without a smoker?
Wow, that's a good question.
I got a pressure cooker and I got a grill, and I can apparently, based off some stuff I've looked up, I can smoke it using a grill, but that seems a little weird.
You can smoke into it. Josh.
You don't need a smoker to smoke, baby.
Yeah, but I use gas grill, so.
You can turn your gas grill into a charcoal grill if you wanted to, and get one if you wanted to get weird.
I don't want to. So. I just want to know how to make this pork bread with what I have.
Let me consult with the maestro, and I'll have a plan for you tomorrow.
Okay. Hang on.
Okay.
Hang on. Hear me out. JT's going to make fun of me. Don't judge me, JT, but hear me out. Give me a minute. Ken,
I thought we were trying to close, Josh.
Ken, do you have a crock pot?
I do, yeah. I got a crock pot.
Here's what you do. Dry rub, okay?
Yeah.
Put it in some Ziploc bags or a giant Ziploc bag in the fridge overnight with the rub on it.
Okay? Yeah, of course.
It kind of caramelizes, okay? The next morning, you take it out, you put it in the crock pot, okay? I don't know how much apple cider vinegar, but just like that much, just that much. I don't know. A liberal amount. And then a liberal amount of liquid smoke, okay? Low and slow for 8 hours. Are you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay. When it's done, this is the important part. Are you listening?
I'm listening, Josh.
You put your oven on broil at 500 degrees. You take the pork butt out of the crock pot. You put it on a cooking rack. You put it into the oven at broil 500 degrees for 15 minutes. And it chars the outside. And it looks like you just got it out of a smoker or a grill, but you didn't.
Okay.
And honestly, I saw this video, this like old black lady doing this, and it was awesome. But it's not as good as a smoker. I mean, I'm not crazy.
Right.
But but it's really it's the best you can do with, I think, what you got.
I wonder if I could do that with my pressure cooker and then broil it. Yeah. I've got the pressure cooker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do the pressure cooker, then put it under the broil to like burn the outside. And what I've heard is like that I should sear it first, fellas? Should I sear it and then pressure cook it? That's what I've, like...
I don't know. I hadn't heard that. I mean, you could, but... I think you could do what I said with the pressure cooker, and just, like, the key, the secret is, like, that last 15, 20 minutes, broil it and char those outside edges, and it totally just seems like something came off the...
The rub is going to be what really gives it a crunch, in the rub. You know, on the outside. Yeah. You want called the flavor ring. When you peel it, you're going to see different rings of color in there, and that's the rub helps to create a shell basically on the outside. So figure that out for you. That's an interesting scenario.
One day I would like to invest in a smoker. I just don't do enough of it, or you know, plan to really warrant investing in
I'll bring some to the boys weekend.
Well, I can deal with that. That is better than me any of it, to be honest. Yeah. Please bring your dad's butt to the
Y'all, I cannot wait. We are having boys weekend this weekend. Woo!
All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's Not Combination podcast show. We appreciate you guys hanging with us for this entire season. It's been a ton of fun. We're going to do some more fun stuff during this off season. If you didn't catch yesterday's episode, we did say that we're probably going to be cutting back to about 2 episodes a week unless something big fires off. Something big fires off, big being like, we might do a special episode for college football, championship stuff. We might do a special episode for the Super Bowl. And if the Braves like re-sign Marcelo Zuna or crazy stuff, we might have special episodes for that. But that being said, we're going to cut back to about 2 episodes a week. We do sort of have lives that we kind of don't, but we do. So we try to. Anyway, if you'd like to support the show, we sure would appreciate it. It's kind of expensive to run all this stuff, and we would appreciate you hanging in there with us. You can do so by visiting patreon.com/knockahomination. You can become a member of the nation, where you can join for $5, $9, or even $21. $21 gets you a shirt, all kinds of shout outs on the show, and Josh will love you long time. So that being said, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Although I do stop loving them if they ever cancel their patron. So Natalie's dead to me. Anyways. All right. Are we still recording? Crap.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit NakahomaNation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.